Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
Well, good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening. So a couple of disclaimers. I am outside. Now, normally, I don't do outside podcasts because of the noise, possible wind, some traffic noise and all that. But just feel like that this is the second part of the night of the arrest. We're looking at John 18. And for those who are in the Bible study now, not many were at Bible study, so this should be brand new for a lot of people. I just feel like I'm supposed to be outside. It's breezy. You might hear the wind a little bit. I'm tucked away in the corner, though, so you won't hear the wind, I don't think, very distracting. You might hear it in the background, and that's okay, because a lot of this moment is happening outside. So, that's the first disclaimer. Second disclaimer, I've already kind of mentioned that this is the Bible study from Wednesday night, with maybe some extra pieces added in. We'll see, but just feel like that I'm supposed to repeat that. Very seldom in my ministry of 30 years almost have I repeated things. I just don't, that's just not the case. But it just feels like it's right to repeat the Bible study from last Wednesday night. We did that as last Friday's podcast. And then this Wednesday night's Bible study is this week's podcast. And yeah, you probably got it right. Next Friday's podcast will probably be next Wednesday's Bible study. So those are the disclaimers. So, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Whenever you're listening to this, I hope and pray that you are well, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and also in awe of the week we call holy, of this night that we are talking about in John 18 of the arrest. Some amazing stuff, and hope and pray that you'll be blessed as we walk our way through it. So, let's get started. Lord, we love you so much. I thank you for the day. I thank you for the night. I thank you for the morning. I thank you for whatever time of day this might be for whoever might be listening. I do pray that you'll help us draw closer to you. Holy Week is just a few days away. As we look into digging in deep understanding of John 18 specifically and John 19 next week, we pray that you will help us understand even greater the magnitude of the sacrifice, your love, your grace, your power. And may we fall in love with you deeper and more intense than ever before. We thank you. I thank you for even the outside noise. The wind picks up and the wind going through the trees. And I thank you for that noise that might be the backdrop of this night. We don't have a clue. Now, there is some sense that it was a full moon on the night you were arrested. But Lord, we also know that a lot of this was in the in and out of Jerusalem. And we ask and pray that you just give us holy imagination. Holy imagination. We love you. We trust you. We pray this in Jesus, your mighty and holy name. Amen. So again, I've said before, John 18 is literally one of my favorite chapters. And just incredible story of the arrest. And when you start digging in, just like last week, I had several comments from last week's Bible study and last week's podcast that was just kind of mind-blowing and mind-altering, like, oh my gosh, seriously? And so I thank the Holy Spirit for this revelation. And also, as we talk about at the Joshua Center, this Holy Ghost hermeneutics, where we do the real work of digging and the Holy Spirit does the real work of inspiring. So I am grateful for this work that we do in Bible study and deep and intense Bible study. So again, outside noise, you may have heard a big truck go by. So trusting it's not distracting. Trusting, you'll kind of hear, even as the wind whistles around, you'll hear that and you'll kind of get a sense. Even if you're able, now some of you do the podcast with your Bibles open, that's great. But if at some point you want to do the podcast with your eyes closed and just to imagine, that might be good. So All right, we're going to pick up basically at verse 28 through 40. That's what we're going to look at here for this podcast. But first, I want to make sure that we understand the movement. In a very short period of time, we understand this to be like from maybe at the very most conservative, I mean, the most liberal guess would be 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. But chances are it's probably midnight, 11:30 to 5 a.m. and maybe midnight to 6 a.m. But, at the very, very max, it's 11 p.m. to 7, meaning he was arrested in the garden, probably, we believe, around 11. And then all this next movement happens before he goes to the cross, this movement that we're going to look at. So let's take a look at this movement. So in verse 12, you'll see now, of course, he was he's in the garden now. So the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him, verse 13, and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. So the very first movement, the very first place we see Jesus at after his arrest, remember, they'll take him down for the slope of Gethsemane. They'll take him through the Kidron Valley and to the Kidron Brook. Now, there were estimations that there were as many as 200,000 sacrifices during Passover of innocent lambs, of pure, spotless, innocent lambs. 200,000. And remember, they've done excavation work. There's a drainage tile system underneath the temple. And so they would wash the blood on a regular basis. So blood and water would be mixed and come through those tiles and into the drainage and system and into down the slope of Kidron and into the creek, into the brook. And so as Jesus walked across the first time, and he was probably dragged across, he was bound. We have this idea that maybe they were polite. I don't think so. Scripture talks about pulling his hair out, but by the hair of his beard out. Scripture talks about his being slapped and spit and mocked, and of course, the crown of thorns. And we'll see all this here on this podcast. But they probably, the beating happened at the arrest. After they had fallen and by the power of the glory that fell in Gethsemane, now they're, okay, but that back to business. We got to arrest this guy. He's a seditionist. He's an insurrectionist. He's a rebel. And so they arrest him. They take him to Annas' house. And then the movement, then look at verse 24. Look at verse 24, chapter 18, John 18, 24. Then after this dialogue, the high priest questions Jesus. And now the high priest is probably Caiaphas. So the high priest at the time is Caiaphas. So Caiaphas is at his father-in-law's house. Okay. And so they're talking and they're questioning. And interesting, I like verse 20. I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. You know why I'm saying that? Because all of this was done illegally. Capital trials could not be held at night. Capital murders could not be, sentences could not be. Now the sentence was passed by the daytime hours, by the next watch. But these two watches, the 9 to 12 hour and the midnight to 3 a.m. hour, nothing was to be done as far as the court, as far as the Sanhedrin, even the 3 to 6 hour. And it was illegal to have any kind of trial. It was illegal to have any kind of, you couldn't execute anyone during that time. And so here they are arresting this man and having a trial. They're arresting Jesus and having a trial, both illegal. So here's Jesus giving a little bit of a burn, a little bit of a holy diss. Yeah, I spoke in public. I didn't speak in secret, unlike others do see things in secret, right? But if you look at verse 24, Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So the next movement, okay, is Caiaphas's house. Okay, I wish I had a I wish you could see this, because I actually drew a picture at Bible study last night, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But both of these places are called Mount Zion. So Mount Zion, if you're looking from the Gethsemane, across from the Mount of Gethsemane, across the valley, and you'll see the hill of Jerusalem. To the left, to the far left, is Mount Zion. It's still on Jerusalem Hill, but it's a separate part. It's David's, where David lived. It's also where the high priest would live. It was the bougie, I think that's the word. It was the bougie part of town. And so the high priest lived there. That would explain the balcony regular homes did not have balconies as much, right? And they had, it was a one level home with a thatch roof probably. So understand that, so this was the bougie part of town. And so they moved, they were both of those places. Now we believe pretty factual that the upper room was probably between Caiaphas's house and Annas's house. And so those steps that he was taking up to Caiaphas, my wife and I have been up on those stairs. Now they closed those stairs right after the first trip we took because there's too much human interaction and they were breaking the stairs and things like that. So they had to preserve the stairs. But we believe the upper room, where of course Thursday night earlier had happened, but also Pentecost happened, is in between those homes, between those. So, and then what's this next movement? In verse 24, the next movement is just a few verses later, right between, at least in John 18, Anna sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest, okay? There's a lot happening at Caiaphas. You'll see that in Matthew and Luke. So you have to see the whole picture. To get the whole picture, you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mentioned this last week. But then here in John 18, you've got the second and third denials, okay? Then you look, then you finally pick up at verse 28 and says, then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now, it was early morning. That's a lot of time. So he was at Annas' house by midnight, probably Caiaphas' house by 1 a.m. All of a sudden, it's 5 a.m. probably, maybe 6. The Roman governor, of course, was Pilate. There ain't no way Pilate's going to get up for a bunch of Jews, a bunch of grumbling Jews about some false Messiah at 5 o'clock, before 5, maybe by 5. In that part of the country, it would get lighter earlier. And so by 5:30, the sun's up. So, but the next watch would be 6 o'clock. So, but somewhere between 5 and 6, they took him to Pilate. Okay. So a lot happened from 1 to 2 and to 2 to 6. A lot happened. You'll get some of that between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay. So there's a lot of movement. I wonder what was happening in that movement. Good question. Listen to this. And if you want to read, you can. If you want to listen, it might be good too. This is Psalm 88. Listen to Psalm 88. Think about the night. Think about the movement. And by the way, when he moved to Pilate's, there's two different places there. There's called the Antonio Fortress. And then if the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is the place of the crucifixion, underneath that was also a prison. Let me suggest to you, before I read Psalm 88, he was likely visited 4 different prisons that night. Jesus, our Messiah, Jesus, our Lord, was held in 4 different prisons in one night. Yeah. Listen to Psalm 88, a messianic prophecy. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest dungeon. Your wrath lies heavily on me. Why did Jesus have to die? To take care of the wrath of God? You have overwhelmed me with all of your grief. You have taken me from my closest friends, what had happened just hours earlier in the garden, and you have made me repulsive to them. I am confined, imprisoned, and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. I said, I spread out my hands to you. Think about the cross. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness? Are your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry for you. I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Sounds a whole lot like Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have thou forsaken me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. All you have to do is read the Gospel of John and you realize he's escaped stoning by 5 or 6 times. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken me from my friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. There is something called the Sacred Pit. It's in Caiaphas's basement, if you will. It's a stone dungeon. It's a former, basically a water well. It's dank, it's dark, only accessible at that time through a round hole that the prisoner would be lowered in, lowered through. The rope would be around the waist up into the arms and the hands. The hands would be, and the arms would be above his head. And they would lower him that way into this pit. His feet may have touched the ground. His feet may not have touched the ground, hanging there. See, what happened during this trial, he was not there. You cannot be by the high priest very close because he'd be unclean. And he's not going to risk being unclean before Passover. Now, the ironic thing is, at some point, we understand that probably the high priest slapped him, which made him unclean. He did that in secret. But in public, he announces he can't go to the temple palace where Pilate is because he'd be unclean, meaning he could not eat the Passover meal. Hypocrite. Can we say hypocrite? You can be unclean in private when you're slapping Jesus, but you will not be unclean when you're causing the crowd to turn against them. We'll come to that in just a moment. So he was at a pit. But understand, all four of these places, the what they call now the Church of Archangels, which is the House of Annas, had a stock, lock and stock, like a stockade where the feet would go in. They believed that he was there for a while. Now the House of Caiaphas or the Sacred Pit, which is the Church of St. Peter in Gallicantu. Gallicantu is Latin for crowing rooster. Gallicantu, crowing rooster. And so we believe to say he was in the Sacred Pit. There's a monastery now in Jerusalem called Monastery of the Praetorium. Praetorium is where Pilate ruled. Underneath the Praetorium was called the Antonio Fortress. The Antonio Fortress is where the Romans held all of their torture instruments, and this is where you'd see Jesus with the robe. They would put a robe on him and mock him and slap him and spit at him and say, and even before that, in Annas's house and in Caiaphas's house, they would slap him with blindfolds and say, "Guess who it is if you're a prophet." So there's three places right there, but there's another place underneath the church of the Holy Sepulchre, one of the two traditional places where we believe Jesus was crucified. When you go there, you get to go to both and you kind of choose which one. Sometimes we choose by feeling. Be careful, you choose by feeling. I won't give you where I think it is, but I just know this, wherever it is, there was a prison. It's called the Prison of Christ underneath the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That's where they believe they took Jesus to get ready. Remember, he only bore the crossbar. He did not bear the whole cross. The cross was already there at Calvary. There at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, there's holes drilled into the rock to establish to put the cross so that the cross would be fit in. And then before the cross was lifted up, they would, placed in the hole, they would affix the crossbar to the vertical bar. But in the meantime, they would hold the prisoner in the prison underneath that. What they now is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. We believe that Jesus was held there right before 9 o'clock on a Friday morning. And we believe he met two men there because all three prisoners were probably held there. Yes, we believe there's a conversation that happened before the two thieves on the cross next to him. We believe he met them. So this order of the trial, I'll give you these passages, but this order of the trial, John 18:24, Matthew 26:57-68, and then Luke 22:66 is kind of the order of the trial. And it's interesting here in the Gospel of John, if you go back to that, you'll see Pilate and the religious leaders kind of banter back and forth about what the charge is. Now, before you think that there's any kind of nobility about Pilate, be careful. Pilate was an evil ruler. He was mean, vicious. He was manipulative. He was deceptive. He was playing with the leaders here, verse 29 and 30. Pilate comes to them and asks, what charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, well, take him yourself. Judge him on your own law. We have no right to execute anyone. See, they've already decided they have to execute him. And you know, they're right. They couldn't. The only execution they were allowed to do is by stoning. But they didn't want to be held by his, they didn't want to be responsible for his blood. They wanted the Romans to execute. And of course, the Romans were the ones that mastered crucifixion. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. He said earlier in the Gospel of John, I will be lifted up so all men can come to me. Lifted up meaning lifted up off of the ground, lifted up in crucified form. And so this charge, this official charge can be found in Luke 23 verse 2, where finally it's basically the charge of sedition. He's an insurrectionist. It says, the scripture says that he has come against the government. He is a false Messiah, and he's telling the people not to pay taxes. Now you tell me which one got Pilate's ears. Exactly. He could care less if he was a false Messiah. He wasn't really too overly concerned about a kingdom because Jesus cleared that up and said, oh, well, my kingdom's from a different world. At this point, Pilate thinks he's just nuts. But you start telling people in your province not to pay taxes. Who's the king at this time? Caesar. Caesar Augustus is the king, right? Caesar is the king. And so now Caesar is going to have Pilate's head because there's a district called there's a district called Jerusalem that's not paying taxes because there's a seditionist saying don't pay taxes. That's why Pilate got involved. And that's what perked Pilate's ears. There's this hypocrisy of uncleanness, which I've already talked about, where in John 18:28, you see them saying they want to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, so they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. But earlier they were unclean as all get out. This mockery of a trial, right? And you see this great conversation between verses 33 and 38. You see Pilate's, quote, concerns, and you see Jesus' declaration about truth and about kingdom. It's good to read that. Read that and just kind of pay attention to that. But again, be very, very careful that we put any nobility to Pilate, okay? I want to get to this last part before we run out of time. In verse 39 and 40, look at this. It says, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? Now, verse 40, they said what? They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now, Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. That's all it says in John 18. Now, later on in Mark 27, later on in Mark 15, in the Gospel of Mark 15, you'll see that he was an insurrectionist and a murderer. And one place, one of the Greek words is robber. So he was really had the trifecta of crimes. He was a thief, he was a murderer, and he was an insurrectionist, a rebel. And so those are the crimes of Barabbas. Now, if we really wanted to look at that, it would be a great sermon to look at how we, like Barabbas, have stolen his glory, we have murdered his image, and we have rebelled against the kingdom of God. Yeah, all three of those could easily describe each one of us as sinners before coming to Christ. Let's get to this. Crazy. How this custom, there was no such custom. You can do all the research in the world. You won't find this custom anywhere. So we think Pilate just made this up just to throw the Jews. Once again, he's playing with the Jewish people. He's playing with the Jewish people. But I want you to pay attention to this. And you have to put all the pieces together. In 39:40, it looks like they just simply, who do you want me to release? And it looks like, doesn't it, that it's just immediately they say Barabbas. That is not the case. Look at Matthew 27:20. Look at Matthew 27:20. And it says this. Pay close attention to this. This is, I think, one of the most fascinating things that maybe we did not know. Okay? It says this. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and have Jesus executed. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded. That word persuaded in the Greek means to change someone's mind. Listen, to change someone's mind. If you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will see that Pilate had to ask the crowd a second time. He had to ask the crowd a second time. Which means what? The first time that Pilate asked, who do you want to be released? They yelled, Jesus. Then the chief priests and the elders went around the crowd persuading, no. You want to ask for Barabbas. You want to ask for Barabbas. And then when Pilate asked the second time, the deceptive, conniving work of the chief priests and the elders had been completed. And that's when the people yelled for Barabbas and Jesus to be crucified. Wow. They had asked for Jesus to be released first. Last bit. Barabbas. Every name has a name. Every name has a meaning. Barabbas. When you look at the meaning of Barabbas, lowercase across the board here, Barabbas means son of the father. Capital small s, small f. Jesus Christ is son of the father. Capital S and capital F. So the son of the father took the place of the son of the father. The first father, Adam. We are all sons and daughters of Adam. The son of God took the place of all the sons and daughters of Adam. The son of the father took the place of the son of the father. Come on. Be blessed. Fall in love with Jesus again.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimmer's Chapel, a country church by a creek reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.